senses this from across the ocean that we've just clapped him. Anyway, we'll move on to the vote of prior opinion. So if you side with the proposition tonight, you would stop the votes. Please raise your hand now. Fourteen. He was, his hand was up. 14. Shit. And if you side with the opposition, you would not stop the votes. Please raise your hand now.
No, I did say this. 16.
I definitely got it. Okay, and if you would like to abstain on the motion, please raise your hand now. One.
Two.
That's not fair, you can't never have one.
Two. Why are you being mean? Okay, Mr. Secretary, could I please have read out the vote of prior opinion?
So on this motion,
guys.
Thank you. On this motion, there were 15 votes for aye, 15 votes for nay, and 2 abstentions. So by, again, another from out of their own margin when they don't stuff the ballots, nobody has it.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Before we start, I will read out the rules. So each speech is 7 minutes long. The first and last minute are protected time, which will be signalled by the bell down there, meaning that you can only POI people in the middle 5 minutes. To POI, raise your hand and say point of information on that point or POI. Please keep your POIs to 10 seconds and no barracking, meaning wait at least 15 seconds after giving a POI to give another one. Also, very importantly, no back and forth. If you need to leave the room at any time, please do so quietly between speeches. And lastly, no swearing. If you do swear, we will fine you a bottle of port. And with that, I would like to welcome Orne Graham to open the proceedings.
Let's see if this laptop works. Gotta get some. All right. Hello, everyone in the house today. It seems today I shall be discussing a pressing issue that plagues everyday politics within Westminster, stopping the votes. Now, for those who have a happier life, not listening to the rabble of old people who get paid far too much for doing everyone in sideways, stopping the boats is as simple as it sounds. We wish to stop the boats from carrying illegal immigrants across the shores of Britain and the wider UK, jeopardizing the safety of the UK. Now, there are a plethora of reasons for wishing to stop the boats, and unfortunately for lefty newspapers like The Guardian, I do not wish to stop the boats simply because I am a racist. Fortunately for me, this isn't true. Or is it? I'll let you decide by the end. It's all up to you guys. So, the first major concern with the boats is the human factor, funny enough. Most problems of illegal immigration are due to people. Let's start with perhaps the overlooked factor. Most of these crossings is made by human traffickers or gangs. Now, I'm not talking about the kids coming over here or the poor mother running away from war. I'm talking about those who own the boats and those whose greed sees others' opportunity, though others struggle as an opportunity. Since the beginning of 2023, the French police said 272 traffickers linked to channel crossings have been arrested. These deceitful and evil people, if they had got their way, would have happily put anyone they trafficked over to the UK into basically modern day slavery and indentured work off their debts.
Go on. Oh, I'm qualified in this. That is a method. Also, other methods include far more routinely used. You have people in trucks, people just overstaying their visas, various other methods that won't be stopped by your method of stopping the boats, which will take a very low dent in the overall modern slavery kind of problem.
Isn't it good that I'm stopping slavery? Like, I know I have to start with one issue and another. Like, what? I gotta start somewhere, can't start at the end. Back in July of last year, gangs which had made up to that point smuggled an estimate 10,000 people into the UK was making roughly £65,000 per person. On top of smuggling these people, they'd bring drugs and guns, which is a far much more dangerous to wider society. These all shows these small boats crossings can only seek to benefit dangerous gangs and traffickers, often both being the same. Further, the crossings themselves are a problem because it's not safe for people to illegally migrate here from crossing the channel. In November, a small boat capsized, which saw 2 people dead and 57 others having to be airlifted out of the English Channel, saw many suffering from hypothermia. Many were children. Before that, 12 Afghans died. And at least we should not forget the worst of it last year during...
Do you think we have a moral obligation as a country to let people in whose countries be purposely destroyed in interventions?
I'm not too sure on that one, to be honest. I don't really like philosophy. These are the reported upon deaths, never mind the small boats that go out during the night and are missing forever. These are real people who unfortunately lose their lives. Now this next one, I'm gonna get like a million POIs, so just give me a moment and I'll get through them. I have answers to your questions. Now let's say you make it across here and you're not in indentured work. People come here in the belief that it's safer to work in the UK and they can build a better life. Now imagine you get here, you go to the UK Home Office and it's James Cleverly now, you go up to him and go, can I have a house here? And he ships you away to Rwanda. Now Rwanda, you saw what those guys did in the 1990s, like they're not the best of chaps. On top of that, good luck having any economic chances. On top of that, good luck having any economic chances. £1 is as worth as 1,555 Rwandan franc. And I mean, the currency fluctuates so much every day. The stat is by now wrong.
So by that logic, then, should we accept these illegal immigrants here instead of sending them to Rwanda? So shouldn't we be helping these people on the boats immigrate here instead of trying to push them away?
I think we should help them if they like manage to get across here. Like, I don't really want to send anyone to Rwanda. I don't want to send anyone to Rwanda, in fairness. Now, I know that, yes, my opposition is thinking, didn't the Supreme Court strike this down? Yes, yes, they did. And the they did, and I see Evie has paperwork on that, dear God. And they are also correct to state that no migrant was sent to Rwanda either. However, £190 million was spent on this policy, £190 million that the UK government knew that would get struck down by the Supreme Court due to the European Convention on Human Rights. This policy, they're still willing to continue with James Cleverly signing a new deal literally on Tuesday to continue it whilst I was writing the speech, which has led them to circumvent the UK Supreme Court. They have decided they want to maybe pull out the European Convention of Human Rights to continue this policy. So whilst many migrants are safe from Rwanda today, there's no telling what the future is on this issue.
On that point?
No. I mean, it's absurd. These small boats has called the UK government to seriously considering pulling out the European Convention on Human Rights. That's wild. No, that is wild. That's wild. That's crazy. Now, why should you care about such a silly thing as human rights? Well, it's meant to stop the use of torture on people. I mean, sounds good to me. Stop slavery and forced labor. Oh, and another bonus, it gives you a fair trial, and there's plenty of other good reasons about the European Human Convention on Human Rights. However, the issue of the small boats has made this government wish to pull out of this and replace with their version, which I can only imagine how bad it'll be and how little it'll protect your human rights. Now, if you were to ask me what I'd have human rights or small boats crossing, I'd personally choose human rights as I kind of like them. So to wrap this up, you should vote to stop the boats on the premise that it would save lives in the crossing, take money out of dangerous gangs' pockets, save people from modern day slavery, and stop the government from making authoritarian moves to strip people of their human rights and replace it with their own bill. And overall, stop wasting our tax money. I really like that. So to end this all, I got this silly quote from Jim over there. A vote for the opposition is a vote for gangs and modern day slavery. Thank you all.
Right. So good evening, everyone. thank you, Oren. You spend half of the speech agreeing with us and actually mentioning quite a lot of our points, and then suddenly turned and started to make a financial argument for stopping the boats. I think it is worth noting that the motion is indeed a metaphor. We, of course, obviously want to stop the illegal border crossings because they're unsafe, people are dying, and frankly, we want to avoid that. But on that, in the preparation for my debate, I did ask a few people how would they stop the boats. Someone suggested a massive fuck off net.
On that point?
Yes.
Exactly.
No, wait, wait. Well, never mind. Someone suggested using the Royal Navy, and someone also asked, why don't you just stay in France? The fact of the matter is, upon leaving Europe, the European Union, the United Kingdom lost its say in what happens when people cross the Mediterranean. It is quite frankly, simply the fact is, these people are here, they're vulnerable, and we have a duty of care to them. The proposition is going to, and has partially argued, that there is a difference in obligation between those within and those without our borders, somehow valuing one life over another.
On that point, it's the duty of our state to look after the people within our state. That doesn't suggest that our lives are worth more. It just suggests that we have an obligation, first and foremost, to the people that are actually within the state.
No, I disagree with that. Fundamentally, people are people. I'm not sure if you noticed that. Humanity is ever-present, and these people are reliant on our care. In fact, to use a biblical argument, I'm going to refer to the book of Daniel, during which the Lord separated his people like shepherds would separate the goats from the sheep. In his right hand he placed the sheep, in the left the goat. And the goats were cast off and the sheep were allowed to pass on to paradise. And the sheep, in this case the good people, said unto the Lord, Lord, why hast thou chosen to raise us? And he said, you clothed me when I was sick, you visited me when I was ill, you helped me when I was a stranger. For thou hast done unto my brother as thou hast done unto me. If we are to consider then the guilt, we equally, these people have not looked after their brethren. The commandments dictate to us that we must love thy neighbour. Not shag thy neighbour, but loving thy neighbour would perfectly do. We do not forget those that help us. These people will become, if given the right aid, loyal and active citizens.
On that point,
they actually prove to be a valuable resource to us. There is nothing better in Britain than the people. While we will say that the food is horrible and the wine, English wine, is frankly terrible, letting these people in, to include them in our society, to allow them to properly integrate, would only stand to put us in good stead for the future. Whether that be through the trades that they already have, no thank you, the trades that they already have, or the trades that they could learn through our various wonderful universities, including Queen's here. Yeah. No? Okay, well, rather. Yeah. If we are to say that these people are not deserving of our care, the fact that that is the French issue, I will remind you just how much these people have come through, and the fact that they have chosen to come to Britain. Britain, despite its many faults, despite the horrible issues that we have with the High Court and governments trying to disagree with them and not understanding the idea of a tripartite state pact, they then have to say that no, Britain is the place where we want to work. Is that not an honour? The fact that these people have chosen to come here, they could have stayed in France. Of course, you shouldn't want to stay in France, but they could have gone to Germany, which indeed could have been more exciting. However, they've chosen to come here. That is an endorsement that Britain is a welcoming society and indeed a multicultural one. What are you going to say to this?
I'd really like to go to Trinity, but it doesn't mean that Trinity has an obligation to take me as a student. Just because they chose to come here means fuck off.
You said a naughty word, that's Trinity. Regarding this, no, I think you're being a bit short-sighted here. The state is an embodiment of what we are as a people. Whether that be in my case, as an Irish citizen, we consider... Okay, I'm not going to comment on that. Or indeed as a Canadian citizen. It is a nation of kindness, a nation that is welcoming. and the fact that we are going to turn around and actually say no to let these people Rwanda off.
On that point?
Yes.
So these people that you're talking about, how we should be giving them our yes. Now, I agree with you. These people, they are like, they aren't savages. They're just kind, ordinary people. Why would we send them to Britain when Britain would turn them into savages?
We're not sending them to Britain. They're coming here. They've come by their own free will. Yes. No. The whole point of the asylum process is to allow people to have sanctuary. Whether that be that they're running away from their debts, whether that be that they're running away from religious persecution, or indeed persecution for simple facts of life. They have come here, and they are in deep need of help. It is, you wouldn't turn away a bleeding man, would you?
Yes.
Okay. Right. You wouldn't turn away a man that you just saw shot. If you were a priest, you'd give them the last rites. If you were a doctor, you would have to care for them. Why should we, as the British government, God help us all, turn around and say to the people that are, if they are sent home, could well be shot for the fact of simply leaving, or even risk the fact that if they turn up here, live here illegally, without receiving the proper aid, could fall. No, we're into protected time. We just run amok and possibly end up in an even worse situation, dying in a hovel. Should we not allow these people the chance to at least have some form of comfort, and later to that have a proper, comfortable life outside of the realms of violence and obscene risks unto themselves? And for that reason, we should allow these people to come to Britain, and if necessary, accommodate them.
Set the mood, Jim. Set the mood.
I'm as shocked as all of you that I was allowed to speak on this. I'm sure many of you can imagine what I would say if this was not a public forum. I can already hear the calls of execration. Oh, how dare I say such horrible things? But the truth of the matter is, I actually care about all people. Unlike these people here. They are liars. They will say they care about humanitarian goals, about human rights, about some European convention. I thought Gary saw swiftly to the death of that thing. They care about one thing and one thing only, because they are part of the political class. They care about power, not about people. Because if they really cared about people, all you have to do is just walk around this town for 5 minutes. All you see is homeless people sitting in the street in their own filth. And half of you, listen, I'm bad for this as well, half of you go, ah, that's their own fault. So it is. When really, is it not more a fault of a society that has failed them because a government will not stop meddling in economic affairs?
On that point?
No. And then they take our money, this government takes our money, and instead of helping people born here so destitute,
On that point?
They spend £8 million a day on hotels for immigrants, compared to the 250,000 people that are homeless today in the UK, over 100,000 of which are children. They do not care about people, only power. The Stop the Boats is, I do recognise that it is not the biggest majority of immigration, of which I'm talking about. But what it is a cultural, a political touchstone to their ideology. They don't care at all.
On that point?
No. The fact of this passing, us winning, it would mark a cultural change, an increasing and the open window of what is acceptable to speak about in what should be an open and fair democratic society. Never thought I'd say those sentences. This political class and the rich men west of the Thames, along with the media, seek to undermine democracy. For example, the media, all it ever does is give headlines about anybody criticising anything about immigration is far right. All you have to do is any political commentator that was less than raving about immigration down south was classed as far right after the Dublin riots. Or you hear the famous term, don't look back in anger. This all means to alienate people from one another who have legitimate social concerns about what importing a foreign population to a small given given island nation will have.
And to that point.
No, this alienation will be continued by these people. And the response to that alienation, not condoning it, I'm saying it's bad, will be violence unless we stop these boats because of this this political and cultural touchstone that is the boats. No, stop. I believe in the dignity of all mankind. They do not. They see these immigrants as merely pawns to them getting power because all they want is a population to come here whose citizenship is solely dependent on them. So who else could this immigrant population possibly support but those people here who seek only power? Again, they don't care about people. No. You see how the current government and its economic plans have forsaken the working class, making them poor. People have no time for politics because they're too busy working. And then with the influx of people who only can support them, what are they to do? So it's a feed off itself. The more people they get in, the more power they have. They are globalists. They do not care about nations. As Lawler so wonderfully pointed out, they don't care about nations. They don't care about states. They want to control everyone. Absolutely everyone, and they'll do it by any means necessary. As I said before, the media will only look to stoke tensions between people. They will pin the working class against the immigrant nations, and they will say either the working class is far right for criticising any amount of immigration, or that the working class for saying anything, or that any crimes in giving statistics are solely dependent on the immigrant nations. I don't think that's right. I think we should treat people more as individuals on individual case-by-case basis. And fundamentally, we are not obliged to help other countries.
On that point.
It is a moral good to do it, of course, but you're not obliged to. If we were all truly obliged to help each other, half the people would not be in here. They'd be out in the streets actually doing something instead of having meaningless debates, which I do enjoy. So, what I would say is, please do not let them lie to you. Do not believe the manufactured consent they have with the media, because they are part of the political class who do not care, do not love you, and they hate everyone. They only care for power. It's the only tool they understand. And you hear the love of the EU, that groping leviathan on the continent.
Upper to the Van der Rijn.
If only people actually could talk about this issue honestly, frankly and distinctly to each other without these people stopping us from doing so, preventing us from engaging in an actual democracy. So what else are we to do but to stop them from having the power of opening our borders? And we must, for the sake of democracy and freedom, stop the boats.
Thank you.
Just a few more seconds. Oh. Right, well, I'm going to address that. So where do I actually begin? Well, I'd first like to thank Oren for essentially writing my entire speech for me with his. So first of all, I'd like to share an anecdote. About 2 months ago, me, myself, Jim, and famous politician Max Kieran, don't know if you guys know him, had the opportunity to see British comedian James Acaster perform in our very own Whitla Hall. Now, in a more serious segment of the show, amongst a myriad of insults hurled at the audience, he said something that really resonated with me, and I hope you'll forgive my use of unparliamentary language here. It's quite controversial, I don't know how well it's going to go down. This could kill my speech right here. He said, and I quote, "Fuck the Tories."
No, you can use it in quotes.
Yeah.
You can't use it in
quotes. Oh no, this is a magical mystery tool that'll help us later. We'll get to that. No, I'm hardly the first uni student with dyed hair and pronouns to say conservatives bad. So why did I bring them up? Well, I intend to address the freight container-sized elephant in the room. That is the UK Stop the Boats political campaign. Now, I'd like to make it very clear to y'all that I'm not here, as Luke would have you believe, to make wide-sweeping moral arguments about humanitarian needs, or whatever those are. God knows, this house knows all too well the dangers of letting certain people talk about ethics. No, I'm here, first and foremost, to show you how patently abysmal the UK government has been from both a legal and administrative point of view, in true law school fashion. Now, on that note, shall we take a look at the current proposition's track record? Let's see, human rights violation, human rights violation, human rights violation, human rights violation. Let's see, what's this? Another human rights violation? No, I don't expect my learned friends across the table to have read every single line of these court cases, but I do expect them to understand my very basic point. The Stop the Boats campaign in the UK has been legally abysmal. So, for the sake of time, I'll give you the best hits, a greatest of a, now that's what I call breaking international law tier list. So, let's start at the best bit. April 2022, the illustrious Suella Braverman announces that the government will be deporting illegal immigrants to a safe off-site location. Incidentally, this may sound familiar to anybody aware of the Madagascar plan from mid-century Germany. Well, I certainly know that one person in this room is thrilled at that prospect. Naturally, sending people to Rwanda, and for lack of a better word, telling them to piss off does not go down well with the European Court of Human Rights. Not from a practical point of view. The most recent estimates, I believe this to cost about 169 grand per individual, so about the average monthly rent of a Trinity student. Is there really nothing better that we could be doing with 169 grand, like, I don't know, anything else? Funding detention centres? Who was it who just complained about the money issue? I found where it all went. Now, stumped with what to do next, the government decided if we can't send them away, let's give them a luxurious staycation on the British Isles. So, May 2022 rolls around and Human Rights Watch of the UN publishes a 100-page report, which I haven't printed out for the sake of my budget and ink, a report on the living conditions of asylum seekers in the UK. Asylum holdings are deliberately overcrowded in a manufactured crisis. No, thank you. Rats run rampant, disease spreads, and people have to fight over food. So if anybody's been to northern France, they kind of get the gist. Speaking of France, let's talk about the administrative costs and moral costs of the UK's recent plans. The UK and France, over the past 5 years, have invested upwards of, £500 million in communication and administrative fees alone simply to cooperate in stopping illegal immigrations with the French government. Tonight, dear friends, House, if everything else I say goes over your head, if everything else can be discredited by the proposition, I raise you this. The proposition are arguing that we should align ourselves with France. The demon of Babylon cloaks himself in the coat of righteousness. No thanks. And so, this is £500 million for a scheme which clearly isn't working. So, let's get to this year. Rishi Sunak passes the... No thanks. The illegal migration bill, essentially, there's a clause in it which bars individuals arriving, quote, by small boats from applying for asylum. Formal legal observation by the UN, the ECHR, and common sense indicate that maybe this isn't the best idea. And so, if you're caught up on last week's episode of Litterific, you'll also be aware of the 17,000 people lost by the Home Office in the administrative counterpart to this legal argument. So even our communications with France aren't working. And so, dear friends, I raise you this. The UK is committing enough human rights violations to make the Canadians during World War I look like saints. And so, friends, boats are still arriving, thousands of people are suffering, we are over £500 million down, and we are forsaking all of our righteous Anglican values by working with France. And so, what should we do? Say no to the Tories, say no to the proposition, say no to France, and stop trying to stop the fucking boats.
Right, you have to get one in
front of you. I'm done.
Madam President, members of the proposition, members of the opposition, and members of the House, I just want to start by saying I'm not going to begin my speech with an insult of my distinguished colleague on the proposition here who made a barnstorming speech. I will admit, however, that when he said at the pub last week that he wanted to speak on this motion, I grinned through gritted teeth. Nevertheless, he has risen to the occasion, although I will differ slightly from his sort of anti-government approach here. The first thing is the opposition here tried to define the motion. Fintan tried to lay the terms of the motion down in the start of his speech by saying we clearly don't mean we want the boats to keep coming. I just sort of remind you that it is not your job to define a motion. It is ours, as we've done. But amongst all the rhetoric and the paper throwing, you know, what did they actually say? I think printing all this stuff off and sort of distributing it like it's some sort of political statement was just a classic example of printing something off but not actually reading it. The one that I got a hold of, the issue there was that the UK government hadn't progressed a piece of legislation through Parliament designating Rwanda as a safe country. You know, God help us what the rest of them say. Clearly, the opposition haven't actually read what they're throwing out. Finton made the point here that the policy risks sending these people back to their home country where they've suffered the fighting, violence, and horror. Well, it's, you know, against international law, says in the treaty that people in no circumstance can go back to the country of which they fleed, and therefore that is just redundant. But stopping the boats is not an isolationist approach, nor is it about closing our doors to those in genuine need. I'll define the motion here. Instead, it is fundamentally about dismantling the networks of people smugglers and criminal organisations that prey on vulnerable individuals seeking refuge or a chance at a better life within the United Kingdom. The proposition understands and accepts that stopping the boats must work in tandem with a range of other policy measures. These measures include the need to open safe and legal routes for those in need to register an asylum application online or an offshore juxtaposed border unit. Not only should these processes exist in theory, but in practice, refugees and migrants must have the faith that these results are operational and will lead to results for them. They must consider these safe and legal options to asylum and migration before ever considering boarding a boat across the English Channel. But we've heard a lot about the sort of Rwanda policy this evening, but I think a key point that has been missed from the debate is that the policy isn't really about sending illegal migrants to Rwanda physically. Rather, it's more about ensuring a level playing field for all those seeking British assistance, as I'm sure we would all want to be the case. The Rwanda policy will no longer be needed within day-to-day border operations when it serves as an effective deterrent to crossing the Channel and entering the UK illegally, because the people who take the journey will know that the Rwanda policy actually works.
On that point?
Nope. When the scheme is finally approved by the UK Supreme Court, there will be naturally a spike in terms of relocation, but as time progresses and the scheme embeds not only into law, but into the considerations of those seeking asylum here take when choosing a route to entry, it will no longer be needed.
On that point.
Go ahead.
Is there really much difference between that policy and the policy that Oswald Mosley proposed?
Oh, give up, Jesus Christ. By taking a firm stance against the illicit activities of these criminal gangs, we are not only protecting our borders, but also safeguarding the lives of who, out of desperation, fall victim to these exploitative schemes. It's our duty to ensure that those seeking refuge in our country do so through legal and humane channels, rather than being subject to the dangers posed by unscrupulous criminals. The proposition accepts that, at present, the current legal routes to asylum within the UK are ineffective and must be reformed as a wider policy as one of the strands of stopping the boats. The English Channel has unfortunately become a conduit for illicit activities, and we must acknowledge the humanitarian aspect of this issue and recognise that the safety of those attempting this perilous journey is at stake. It's our collective responsibility to put an end to this dangerous game played by criminals who profit from human suffering. But stopping the boats is not simply an act of deterrence, it's a multifaceted approach that involves international cooperation, addressing root causes, bolstering our domestic capabilities to handle immigration and asylum processes efficiently. As the opposition say, we must work in hand with our European neighbours. It seems to think that we're going to leave the European Court of Human Rights. That's never been government policy. It's never been discussed at any senior level of government. It just shows the little research that's gone on today.
On that point.
Go on then.
Suella Braverman, whenever she was Home Secretary, said multiple times, in fact she said it today, that during cabinet meetings she proposed that we withdraw from the European Court of Human Rights.
She said it today? She's no longer the Home Secretary. She is no longer a member of the government. But we must work with hand in hand with our European neighbours, sharing intelligence and resources to dismantle these criminal networks at their core, whilst ramping up the UK's own processes in taking care of those genuinely in need. But don't listen to the hollow words of the opposition, who have managed in their speech to say nothing. Vote for a practical and humane and like a level playing field asylum system. To vote to stop the boats that are ruining the lives of so many. Vote for the proposition. Sorry, Tom.
Now, before I begin, I just want to, if you would like to distribute that to the audience members, one to each of every person.
This is a surprise tool
that will help us later.
Don't give me your homework.
Let this one go on the site.
Oh, here.
Oh,
yep,
one. Oh, yeah. Right, shall I begin?
Oh, no.
Thank you, Madam President. Now, as the first three speakers of the proposition outlined through the... Anyways, that we have outlined that from a morality perspective and a legal perspective that the Stop the Boats policy is outright useless and does not work in a single case. I agree with the proposition that morality can shift and that laws can be changed to suit whatever narrative the government proposes. And so I will take our argument one step further, and that even if we implemented the policies proposed by the Stop the Boats plan by the UK government, that it still just wouldn't work out of practicality. Not from political sabotage, not from the EU and its meddling hands, and not from the courts themselves, but the actual policies failing to solve the core issue. The proposition hasn't mentioned this in their speeches, but the government's policy of stopping the boats is not new. The Rwanda plan is based on policy directives by Netanyahu's Israel, and the backlog of boats and pushing them back is directly attributed to the Australian government and good old ScoMo, you know, the guy who did the thing in the McDonald's with the pack and everything, him. So, you know, you would think that it stands to reason that if the proposition wanted examples of their policy working and asking you to support the motion, they would bring these issues up and they would show them as accurate, realistic implementations that show that it is a policy that should be supported. Because our government would never implement a set of policies in which they know full well that they would never work, right? right? Foreshadowing is a literary and narrative device. So I first want to issue a figure. $3.4 million. I'll come back to this. The Rwanda plan put forward by Israel, exactly the same as the one instituted by the Home Office under Suella Braverman, lasted 5 years, had no legal challenges, and worked straight away. So surely this is the plan working at its peak performance, no challenges whatsoever. It shipped 40,000 asylum seekers over the course of 5 years, 800 a year, for the cost of $5,000. So the Rwanda plan, even if we were to get it to work through all the legal shenanigans and chicanery, would not deal with the massive influx of migrants who are coming into the country, which is close to 650,000 a year. So, but realistically in this speech, I want to touch on, more on Australia.
That's net. It's actually over a million.
Fair, but equally, point still stands. The policy implemented is not going to deal with the immigration problem that the proposition proposes we need to solve with these policies. Now, Australia experiences thousands of migrants from Yemen, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Myanmar, and Malaysia, and many others. And as such, in 2012 to 2014, they established offshore processing facilities, of which I will be mentioning very much so later. But their initial implementation saw no decrease in the number of illegal crossings across the channel and across the Indonesian Strait. Same true with Israel. Now, those that were processed in these facilities were found to have valid claims 70% to 100% of the time, and as a result, shows the obvious failures to do with migration, because these people were let in automatically under asylum-seeking laws. And now, unless you're trying to ditch the entirety of asylum-seeking as a principle, you're not going to do anything with these policies. Now, in 2014, to solve it, they enacted Operation Sovereign Borders, an extract of an interview of its success handed out to the audience. This allowed the Australian Border Force to push back boats coming into Indonesia, which had a great track record. Zero recorded illegal crossings and zero reported drownings. Reported. Because, in fact, in 2015, the Australian Border Force Act made it a crime sentenced to 2 years to report the actual figures, which we don't know, because journalists are silenced from reporting them. Now, you would assume that if a country who said that they were able to stop illegal immigration in its entirety would love to publish those figures, that they would love to have journalists talking about them. Why wouldn't they? Maybe because they don't work. So, Michael Outram said, and you've read it in the speech, that we get illegal arrivals in Australia at the border all the time and for many years, despite the policy running for 3 years. The policies that the proposition are proposing have not decreased the number of illegal migrations to Australia. They just stopped counting the illegal migrations and called it a success. The UK government has appointed Australian ministers to enact their policy. One of which, sure.
So you're saying that this hasn't worked in Australia. It's a system different. The Australians that chose to silence their media, and also the referencing a former Australian official being murdered in government. That was as a trade envoy. It wasn't just anything to do with migration.
Actually, no, you're wrong. He was appointed to enact the construction of offshore processing facilities, such as the Bibby Stockholm. And on that point of the offshore processing facilities, Nauru, which is an Australian processing facility known for human rights violations, I would put a stack, but print ink is expensive and all that, a smallpox outbreak, and the outbreak of consumption, not tuberculosis, medieval strain consumption, so conditions are fun. This cost $162 million to build. The cost to hold a migrant there? Turning Point Maguire over here talking about how much that it was going to cost the UK taxpayer to hold someone in these offshore facilities. $3.4 million, what I said there, to house them in Australia with their Australian monopoly money. $4,429, or to translate that into our currency, a price of a Freddo, or more realistically, £2,320 per immigrant, to house them in this country, to allow them to work, to allow them to actually contribute to society, because you will never be able to stop immigration illegally. Because the majority of flights, 80%, come by air, not by boat. So, if we were to actually try to take this lose-lose situation and turn it into a win-win situation, we should not be stopping the boats. We need to allow these people to get to work while their asylum claims are being processed, clear the backlog, and allow our society to contribute, benefit, and thrive economically and from a societal perspective by not stopping the boats, but opening up legal pathways for these immigrants to get into the country and start working. And that is the solution that the proposition will never propose. And it's why I, with full support of the, I urge you all to support the opposition on this motion. Thank you.
I was up until 7 a.m. last night, listening to Troye Sivan and dancing around the hotel room, and smoking.
Cigarettes?
Yes.
Point clarification.
So I don't have a speech. Noah wrote me one on ChatGPT, so I'm going to read some of that. I will not be taking POIs during this because I haven't read it yet. And if Max attempts to POI me, I will use violent methods against him. I will hit you. I'm also incredibly hungover, and please just be nice, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, esteemed colleagues, as we consider the motion to stop the boats in the face of migration challenges confronting Great Britain, why is there not commas? It's essential to acknowledge the role of government policies in shaping the immigration landscape. Specifically, the Conservative Party in the United Kingdom has deliberately implemented measures to make migration more challenging. Yes. Under the Conservative government, there's been a deliberate tightening of immigration policies, reflecting a commitment to controlling the flow of migrants. I know. From stricter visa requirements to an implementation of a points-based immigration system, these measures aim to regulate entry, ensuring that the migrants contribute meaningfully to the national economy and society.
On that point?
I hit him. The Conservative Party's emphasis on reducing net migration figures has led to a more stringent approach, impacting not only economic migrants but also those seeking asylum. The Party's commitment to maintaining control over the number of arrivals aligns with the broader discussion surrounding the need to stop the boats. By creating barriers, the government aims to address concerns related to national security, resource allocation, and social cohesion. This is just telling me what happened. My God, is there anything of substance in this? It's actually fuck off, right? Just slag them off. Right, the opposition have offered you a lot of words tonight. They've offered you discourse. They haven't actually really provided any points. You
on
see...
On that point?
I told you what'll happen. Shut up. Yes. If you say the word skill issue, I will violence you.
I'm not. I'm just saying that the opposition have actually brought up a wide range.
All right, well, just shut up. I don't care. You see, what they don't want to stop the boats. They don't want to stop the boats. But Fintan also wants to stop the boats coming. Which seems like stopping the boats.
On that point?
Sure.
I think, as was previously discussed, this is a metaphorical motion.
No, we were the ones that defined this motion and defined it as specifically in relation to the policy of stopping small boat crossings. So no, it isn't a metaphorical motion, because otherwise it would say, this house would stop the boats, metaphorical motion. I know you're from the South, I'm not sure if you can read English. Okay. Do you see, they're slightly... They're slightly contradicting themselves because they don't want the boats coming, but they don't want to stop the boats. I mean, make up your mind. Do you want the illegal immigrants here or do you not? Do you want there to be human trafficking?
Well, no.
What? All right. What the fuck?
They
can't seem to make up their mind as to whether or not they want human trafficking happening or not. I think human trafficking's bad. In fact, there's a society here. If
fact, there's a society here at Queen's called the Students Against Human Trafficking. And you know what? I bet they're not members. Because as shown, they're pro-human trafficking.
On that point?
Are you really gonna, like, fine.
I'm a member.
Oh my god.
You can tell he's a virgin, can't you? That was the best thing I've said in this society. And I was
actually wrong.
And I was like, oh, touch grass. And I went on an anti-Catholic rant 3 weeks ago. This is amazing. You see, they can't seem to make up their minds, perhaps down to the fact that he speaks with a funny accent, or he's from down south. You know, and to be honest, they speak with a bit of a funny accent too. You know, they shout fuck the Tories. That wasn't swearing, that was a quote. But at this, you know, let's make up our minds. Are you pro-human trafficking? Are you anti-human trafficking? No! Voting for the proposition is a vote against human trafficking. Which is, as we all except the opposition agree, really bad. Human trafficking is bad. I'm not sure, like... Sure.
Could you please define human trafficking? I forgot what it was.
So over.
I have a qualification in it.
You have a qualification in human trafficking. You sick bastard. Oh, that tells you everything you need to know. Everything. I have a qualification in it, they say. Because they not only want to be human traffickers, they want to be educated human traffickers. They want to, as we say in Ulster University, they want to be world-leading human traffickers. Nothing Ireland, North, South, East, and West has suffered so much in its history as the broken pledges of British statesmen. You see, what they may not be British statesmen tonight, but they are offering you pledges to stop illegal immigration. No, they are pledging to you to continue human trafficking, educated human trafficking. My friends, while Ciara Swale, HLM, MA in human trafficking, was about to stand here before you tonight and tell us of all the evils of the proposition, the Tory bastards, the evilness of them. What we must remember is a vote for the opposition is a vote for human trafficking. And that's not very nice. So, oppose degrees in human trafficking, because that's weird. You shouldn't tell people you have that. Disregard everything they say because it's of no consequence. Remember, stick to your, I say this with sincerity and solemnity, stick to your closer to the ideals of the British Empire. And let's propose the motion and let's stop human trafficking and stop the boats.
Right, so we've heard a lot of words tonight about how they're the bastion of justice, they're the people that are going to suddenly prevent human trafficking, they're going to take down the network, that they're going to bring all the immigrants into the country legally and great. Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. It's like with any illegal industry that's ever existed. When they tried to stop drugs, they just used other methods. When they tried to stop human trafficking, they used other methods. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. If I'm an illegal trafficker, I'm not going to sit there and go, "Oh well, my whole business just went in the dust and the boats aren't going anymore. Well, I guess that's me." Of course not. I'll just use the very common methods of sending them off on a fake job opportunity and nicking their passports as soon as they arrive. Or I ship them in containers. Or I do various other methods.
that exist, you won't remove the problem, you'll just shift it to a different place. Because human traffickers just aren't going to let a big portion of their business just magically disappear overnight. That's not how it works. No, so... And this is the same with modern slavery, which kind of tackles your point. So now we're going to go to the second speaker. So now you have said that with immigration, we should take care of our own people, that we should take care and spend money of our own and not on these immigrants, right? Completely neglecting the fact that without immigrants, our NHS would collapse. Without immigrants...
On that point?
No. Without immigrants, our NHS would collapse. Without immigration, our social services would collapse. Our IT industry would be badly affected as well. There we go.
Today.
On that point?
Okay. No. Essentially, what I'm going to say as well is even negating this whole immigration crisis, the problem is here, you would make such a tiny dent. If even, let's pretend for a second that you would prevent this illegal immigration, which you wouldn't, it would just shift. If you prevented it, that immigration accounts for less than 10% of all immigration into the country. Less than 10%. And the net migration each year is roughly about 650,000, roughly. The majority of which, by the way, I will remind you, goes to our NHS and to the social services and to IT industries. Sure, go for it.
So if they were to be reported, it would then force a higher amount of salary for the given people because they'd be more competitive. So why not actually pay the people more, people who are born here, more than instead of just rushing in cheap labour because that's all you currently do?
Because how do you magic up the tens of thousands of nurses we require? How do you magic up the tens of thousands of doctors we require out of thin air when we need them right at this instant and right at this no? So, and that's the issue. And anyway, we're not even talking about legal migration. We're talking about illegal migration, which I have just established would stop in the boats wouldn't help. And also, there's a vital question that they haven't answered tonight, which is how they would stop the boats. Because I'm going to explain how that actually works, because the Navy have actually tried to stop the boats, and they've had issues with this actually, because they've nearly capsized them by going too close to them. It's actually a very dangerous operation to try and stop the boats, which has nearly caused a lot of people capsizing and drowning. Instead of, I don't know, bringing them and processing them as the legal asylum seekers they are. Now, we continue on, because they keep saying, oh, but they're illegal, my immigrants, they come here illegally, completely negating the fact that for these people, that's usually their only choice. Why, if I had so many options available to me, I would choose a method that would just get me killed? It's because there isn't that many options. Legally in the UK, to claim asylum, you have to physically land in the UK to do so.
On that point?
No. How do you do that if you're, say, in Afghanistan, where if you apply for a passport and the government don't like you very much, that alerts them to where you are? How do you do that when, if you get a fake one, that's also an offence? And what if you, because there is no asylum visa, you go in on a fake holiday visa where you are forced to lie on a visa application to even step foot in the country because there is no asylum visa. So you go in, you claim asylum, and then you said about how much it costs. That's because it's so inefficient. No, because you won't stop it. That's the issue. Illegal immigration will come wherever you like it or not. Now, the cost is actually because of the government scrapping funding to it. Now, it takes an average 550 days for a child's application to be processed. It takes an average £449 a day. £550 days for an adult to be processed, right? On average. That's all those days they have to house them, feed them, clothe them, etc., etc. Now, here's how you actually solve the massive issues. You update the tech and you stop firing people who are processing them because you want to make cuts. All you have to do is hire a bunch of workers and make it more efficient. Then you would cut the cost of this entire operation way, way down. And also, sorry, getting to this. And also, we've been told before of, like, how do I put this? That under international law, under asylum law, they should have the right to come here and be processed and live a better life. And that is what this debate is about tonight. They won't prevent what they want to prevent, and we actually propose a solution that will work. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kira, and we will move on to questions.
Can I clarify the qualification of human trafficking, by the way?
Yes, please.
Can I actually clarify that? So, for those of you who don't know, I work in a bank, and I do anti-money laundering kind of stuff to do with banks. So because of that, I have qualifications in anti-money laundering. I also have qualifications in how human trafficking works and modern slavery and things like that.
All right, okay, that makes more sense. Okay,
sorry,
do we have...
I've never raised a potential where the IT industry is collapsing at maybe time sleep.
No, not
or
in your
collapse. Boyfriend work.
Okay, do we have a question for the proposition? I'll go to Kira.
It's just something that I feel that, like, you brought it up a bit, and it's just that the opposition has brought up a lot of the economic benefits that migrants have, and I'm just wondering, like, with the Stop the Boats campaign, which we're getting more migrants, and they can provide a lot of economic benefits, I just wonder, like, what is the proposition's thought on that?
Kira really hammered home on that, particularly in regards to kind of public services, the NHS, social services, and all of that. Which was a really interesting point about the work that legal immigrants do and people that march kind of across on boats. So I mean, a lot of that kind of bluff and bluster is entirely relevant to people coming over on small boats, because the people that are holding up the NHS are not the people that are coming across on small boats, you know, because we're shopping boats, we're shopping people coming across on small boats. We're not saying, oh, we want to get rid of all the legal immigrants. So, it's important. Should he at best, it doesn't make sense.
Opposition to respond?
So, what I'm going to say in response to that, I was drawing to his particular points about the wave of migrants coming on, about the 650,000 that we're talking to. The second thing I will say is that it actually, have more of an economic benefit on our side, because the problem is with our system, as I said, people spend 500 days just in hotels, and they have to be fed and they have to be warm and things like that, when they cannot legally work. Now, if we actually cleared the backlog, we could have lots of young, able-bodied people going into our economy that can work those manual labour jobs that are in short supply at the moment. We could get these people to actually contribute to the economy, because statistically, migrants and immigrants contribute more to the economy than the likes of you and me. And also, as he pointed out, in the policy, kind of similar to the Stop the Boats policy, cost the UK taxpayers at least £1.12 billion so far in policy decisions, and Australia's spending $8.6 billion failed to achieve any of its policy objectives, which kind of leads on to my point in that you are never, ever going to completely stop illegal migration. That's just not going to happen. What you need to do is you need to give basically methods to these people
to more quickly become contributing members to the British society by working and contributing to its economy. That's the only way you're going to win this, basically.
Do we have a question for the opposition? I'll go to Noah.
Sure, you just said by integrating these people, by making migration easier, they'll be more like welcoming to society. If we make migration easier, does that not stop the boats like what the proposition is suggesting?
Opposition to respond.
If you want.
Well, the motion as it stands is related to the UK's idea of pushing the boats back and creating offshore processing facilities to deal with the illegal migration problem. Now, in terms of that, we've outlined very well how those policies fail. Now, the motion as it stands is that this House supports the removal of the complete illegal migration. The proposition has misconstrued this motion and twisted it in a way in which it would be practically impossible to defend otherwise, and is pretty much really disingenuous to the whole debate as a whole. The motion as it stands, as it was written, and how it is proposed, is the Rishi Sunak government's policy of stopping the boats. That is what it was written as, that is what it is debated on, and as a result, and what we have outlined as a team, is that that policy system is based on facts that don't work, that costs more than the alternatives, and equally have very easy solutions to turn this into something that is a net benefit to UK society, not something that needs to be stopped.
Proposition to respond.
Thank you, Noah. Just on that, your point is that it's not something that should be stopped. The proposition who's first here after saying against the jobs to find motion has made clearly, even if you're defending the entire policy of the British government, the policy of the British government is to stop small boats crossing the channel. That is what the stop the boats policy is designed to do. Right? There's no ulterior motive to stop boats coming across the channel. Kira's point was that, actually immigrants are good, which I believe I made the same point. I said that in tandem with stopping the boats and going forward with the British government's proposed policy, you then have a plethora of other measures that you implement at the same time to make sure that if you wish you can integrate these people into society, if you have safe and legal routes for these people, so they don't feel like they have to cross the channel in a boat.
Okay, very quickly, do we have an abstaining question, Agora?
Just because there's been a bit of confusion, I think, around this whole thing about exactly what is being proposed and argued against, can the proposition clearly set out what their proposal is to stop the votes and describe how that would work, and can the opposition describe how they think what the opposition proposes would not work in stopping the votes?
Yeah, you just have like 2 minutes each to do this. So whoever wants to go, proposition first.
Well, so the proposition, I can really help a little bit, but I will refer to the proposition and say that as I sort of laid out in my speech here, you go ahead with the proposal of the British government wants it to receive Supreme Court clearance, which is looking like the new treaty is on the horizon. You then implement a tandem of other measures such as integrating people into society, creating safe and legal routes for immigration that people actually have faith in operationally. So we're not just talking sort of woolly legal theory here, we're talking practical political realities where you create routes for people to actually come to the UK, contribute to society, as you know, Kieran mentioned. And you take the wind out of the sails of the people smugglers, you stop it being an industry, and you crush the business model by making sure that people don't choose that as their first option. They choose it, they choose safe legal routes which we've established. And that's the view that you do so in the kind of other measures, that is the opposition thing.
Opposition to 2 minutes, just to wrap this up.
So the problem is that the current government's policy is, I'm not going to lie, it is kind of anti-asylum seeker in some ways. So for example, there was a law that was passed that essentially created to basically change the class of immigrants that came in. Basically the people that came in say, through the legal routes, where process kind of fine, but then if you came on through the illegal routes, you'd be sent back. And I've said this before, the problem is you will not remove this industry. It'll just shift methods. And that's the main issue. The third method is that you say if you build up more kind of ways to get people in, I completely agree. The issue is the government hasn't really proposed an amendment to the problem of how do you get people in the UK legally to actually, you know, apply for asylum in the second case. And the second way is that they have not proposed a way to actually make the process of asylum economically viable. They haven't proposed hiring new workers, they haven't proposed updating the infrastructure. So you still have a wave of asylum seekers who are waiting for 5 years, wasting taxpayer money instead of just putting money into where the system should have been in the first place and getting them to be contributing economically to the nation as a whole.
Alright, okay, brilliant. We'll move on to our vote of speaker ability. This is not about which side you agree with, it's about who was the most convincing and had the best argument. So if you think that the proposition spoke best tonight, please raise your hand now. And if you think that the opposition spoke best tonight, please raise your hand now. 13. Yeah.
Ooh.
And if you'd like to abstain, please raise your hand on. 2. Mr. Secretary, could you please read out the vote on speaker ability?
Yeah, so on the vote question of speaker ability, there were 14 votes for the proposition, 13 for the
well done to the proposition. Next week is Christmas mini games and festivities at 6 p.m. in this room. And could all speakers please come to the
front?
Or?